It's a me, Mario, and you're listening to Boop Wop.
Well, hello there. This is the Boop Show for January 26, 2015. My name is Scott Johnson. Let's do this thing. The penguin. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Boop Show. That was my penguin. Did you hear it? Like the old school one? It's not very good. Good morning. Good morning and hello. How are you? Good. That's great to hear that you're doing well. It's time for a Boop Show. There wasn't one Thursday. Sorry. I had a hospital visit that couldn't be avoided, and it kind of killed my day. And I felt bad about it. And then I thought, you know what? I should do a show. I was feeling better on Saturday. I thought, you know what? I should do a show today. And then I thought, well, then that's only 2 days away from the next show. That's silly. But then part of me said, well, yeah, but that's 2 days apart from the other two shows. And then I thought, I'll just do it Monday. See how I came to that conclusion? This is episode 45, if you can freaking believe it. And I played a lot of Mario Kart 8 this week. That game is freaking great. And online is great. And the single player is great. And everything about it is great. I know, I'm late to the game. I get it. But with the new Wii U in the house, I didn't know. I don't know. I mean, I knew, you know, I'm a longtime fan of these games, but I skipped the Wii U version of Kart. I'd had every Mario Kart game, but previous to that, I'd owned myself. Oh, I said myself, but anyway, I didn't have this new one, so, you know, got it. It's great. It looks amazing. Man, Nintendo stuff in HD with, like, proper, you know, effects and stuff. That's what we've been missing in our lives. Yeah, the Wii U's got problems, but that game is not a problem. Let's put it that way. Mario Kart 8, not a problem. That should be their slogan on the back of the box. Mario Kart 8, not a problem. Woohoo! Right? So that got me to break down like some kind of weird idiot and purchase for the second time in my life. Actually, maybe in the third time. No, second time. I ordered Wind Waker. The Legend of Zelda, Wind Waker. You know, the one from the early aughts that everyone complained was cel-shaded and didn't look like what they wanted from their next-gen Zelda game. At which I said, you guys are crazy. This is awesome. What a cool look this is. I hope this continues forever. And they kind of did that with the portable versions of Zelda games. DS games and even the Minish Cap stuff that was on Game Boy Advance at the time. Anyway, I broke down. I ordered it. It's on its way. I got it on Newegg. Newegg's got great deals on games, by the way. Just regular everyday prices are better than everywhere else, I'm finding. Even better than Amazon, better than wherever. Best Buy. Suppose if I took it down to Best Buy, they would match. They do that now, right? As long as it's a legit ad from a legit competitor. I can take that ad in and go, or not ad, but I can go in there and say, look, Newegg has it for, you know, $5-6 less. They'll do it. I can't be bothered. I'm too lazy. So Wind Waker, on its way. Going to play that again. One of my favorite games of all time. Probably still is my favorite. Okay, here's how I think my favorite Zelda games go. I think tied for first, Wind Waker and Ocarina of Time. Very close second, that 3DS game from last year. What was that called? Two Worlds, whatever it was. Between Two Worlds. Something like that. Between Two Worlds. Anyway, that game was amazing. And everything's coming up Zelda. This year should be a good one for that new one. So anyway, I'm excited. It's on its way. Also dabbled in Super Mega Baseball for the PlayStation 4, which had gotten some pretty screaming reviews, and I was curious. I loved kind of the old school arcade baseball sports games of the old days. Old 8-bit, 16-bit era stuff where the teams weren't even real. It'd be like the San Francisco Juggernauts versus the Kansas City Peabodys or whatever, right? And you'd play those, and they were just great controls and really super fun fielding and, like, just distilled baseball down to a really fun, wonderfully paced sport. Kind of doing for baseball what NBA Jam did for basketball games and what NFL Blitz did for football. And I was told by a couple of people I trust and by these general positive reviews that Super Mega Baseball was that game for baseball. So I thought, well, all righty then. Let's pick that up. Give that a shot. Give that a spin. Seemed a little pricey at 19, but you know, I got to make sacrifices for this show. So I downloaded it via PSN. This is available on Xbox One as well as PS3 and 360, I believe. And you can tell because that game is not current gen level stuff. It is ugly, ugly. And it doesn't really diminish how much fun it is because turns out way fun. Great mechanics, great twists on stuff you already know. Great, easy to get in kind of things you can do, but also ways to you know, improve your play as you go. Easy to get into, hard to master kind of thing. Anyway, I've done no multiplayer, and I assume that's limited to local only. And I'm not even sure about that at this point. I've only seen the single player. Maybe it features no multiplayer. There's online leaderboard stuff, but hey, who doesn't have that? Yeah, it's fun, satisfying. Home runs and base stealing and stuff. Only complaint I have is, A, the graphics are just a little janky and ugly. Just generally. Just, I don't know, just not real nice. The animation's stiff, and it just feels a little bit 10 years ago in that regard. But my bigger problem is the art style they've gone with, which I can deal with big-headed, goofy, cartoony-looking dudes. I have no problem with that. But the style they use specifically here, where the heads are like bigger than the bodies, the jaws are too large, I really don't know what to compare it to. If you go Google some images for this game, you can see what I mean. I don't like that at all. It's very bobbleheady. And I don't, it's very off-putting for me. Thankfully, the gameplay is there and in spades. So you should play that. What does that mean, it's there in spades? Do anyone know what that means? When you say, oh yeah, how was the turnout of the party? Oh man, the pretty ladies were there in spades. What does that mean? I use it sometimes and then realize I don't know what I'm saying. I also played a lot of Diablo, as usual. That game is great. I love it. That new patch is good. They've had some latency issues, but I think that's ironed out. And yeah, that game is good. The game is great. The game is good. All hail to the great game. It is a great game. We should get right into this. As usual, a nice little reminder here that if you like this show, you can support us at patreon.com/frogpants. It's much appreciated. Let's say you just threw a buck at it per month. You get an eight of these shows a month for a dollar. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. But that's what you can do. Just go to patreon.com/frogpants and help this and other shows do what they do. And thank you to all those who are supporting me there. It means a hell of a lot more than you'll ever know. The hologram headset from Microsoft is called a HoloLens, and we would have talked about this on Thursday, because I guess it wasn't Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday was the big announcement. So I'm a little late to the party. I apologize. I did watch that stuff and paid attention all day to what was going on. Just didn't do a show about it. But the HoloLens is this holographic headset. They're calling it holographic. It's not actually holographic. They got to stop doing that. For real. That word, that terminology is wrong. It's, you know, it's augmented reality. It's stuff being projected to you. It seems like it's in the room, but a true hologram would be projected in the room. That part's stupid. Anyway, they call it holographic headset. It's due out in the Windows 10 timeframe, whatever that means. Windows 10 is actually due out this year, so that could, does that mean in the lifespan of Windows 10? Does that mean next year? Does that mean right at launch? Nobody really knows. But, yeah, you're getting Windows 10 this year. I guess Windows Phone gets it first after the Super Bowl. So they're going to have some, they'll probably have a bunch of ads and stuff. The HoloLens is not really a virtual reality headset. It's not like it's not like Oculus, right? They say this, quote, "We're dreaming about holograms mixed in our world. Come to a new era of Windows. Welcome to Windows Holographic." I hate that kind of talk, but whatever. I still think what they do is pretty cool. How they look on your head, real dumb. You look like a bad skier or something to that effect. I do not like how these look on people's heads. Anyway, they claim they've been working on it for years. You can create 3D objects within real space. The idea is that it scans the room you're in, for example, hopefully in real time. A lot of this is unknown. And if these surfaces are all correctly tabulated and sort of calculated, you'll then be able to project virtual information to your lenses as well as anyone else in the room wearing them from their perspective, and they would see the same stuff from the appropriate perspective. So they use Minecraft as an example, and you can build Minecraft blocks and stack them on top of each other and basically play Minecraft in a living room where you're building it into the couch and on top of tables and across the floor and this sort of thing. And remember, they own that game now, so it's very possible that $2.5 billion was just for this. It really could be, if you think about it. But using gestures and other objects in the room that are being recognized by this sensor, you can interact with it and hang out and do whatever. It says this on their official page: Microsoft HoloLens intelligently maps the room you're in, blending holograms with the environment around you. Again, they're not holograms, but whatever. Pin holograms to physical objects around you that you choose so that your room becomes the canvas for your holographic projects and games. With Microsoft HoloLens, you can interact with holograms and everyday objects together. Yeah, it's augmented reality. It's fine. I don't want to sound like I'm poo-pooing this. I'm actually really excited about it. I think it's a cool thing. Now, it's from the same dude that came up with the original Kinect, and that should make you just a tiny bit nervous. It was the same guy at the presentation as well, because he's the one that showed off the original Kinect scanning a skateboard and then showing the skateboard in the game. Do you remember that? And that turned out to be a load of bullshit. Big bowl full of it. So I'm approaching this with some skepticism until we see it and people can report. There's been very little hands-on and reports to that regard, and they're obviously not done. They couldn't be. Or they'd have it ready for release or whatever. Or they'd, you know, say day and date with Windows 10, this will be available. How this thing interfaces with the computers or your phone or all that stuff is still way up in the air. There's so many unanswered questions, both practical and fantastic, that have not been asked or answered here. And so time will tell. We need a little time to figure this thing out. I'm not anti any of this. I'm pro all of it. I'm just taking a skeptical stance for now.
Hey, Scott, this is Adam calling from Belleville, Michigan. Love the Boob Show. But, you know, with my call today, I got to pick on you, man. For your last podcast about Nintendo, you made 3 claims about Nintendo that, I'm sorry, Scott, they were wrong. Number one, the eShop does remember your credit card information. It will remember it. Number two, Mario Galaxy 2 will be $20 after 1 week, not $30. And the last point is, the 3DS adapter is not $20 to $30. It is under $10. Thank you, Scott.
It's like Nintendo himself came out of the closet and told me what for. That's good to know about the adapter. I did know about the 20. I'm sure I just typoed that and said 30, and I didn't mean to. I knew it was 20 after the first week. What they don't tell you very well or very upfront is that when you buy that game, or today where you can get the Wii version of Punch-Out, is that you need the Wiimote and Nunchuck for those games. They don't tell you that. Well, at least the Wiimote on Punch-Out, but you need the Nunchuck and the Wiimote for Mario Galaxy 2, which I did purchase for $10, and you need that because the thing basically runs in virtualized Wii mode, scales everything up to 1080p, which does not look great, by the way, after playing it. But you can't use the gamepad controller. Anything that needed the light sensor, any games that use the light sensor, I should say, my understanding is they will not just straight up work with the other. And that's too bad, because that just means these are not ports to the Wii U. These are just the emulation environments being run in real time to play those other games. And I also hate to report, I can kind of tell, because the frame rate on Mario Galaxy 2 is not amazing. It's okay. It's playable. It's fine. But man, I sure rather not play that with that Wiimote. So I feel a little duped on that front. But yeah, you're right on other stuff. And the credit card thing used to be the case. The 3DS would not retain it. My account would not retain my credit card. I had to put it in every time. You're right. That is no longer the case. So thank you. You've set me on the proper path. The rest of Windows 10 stuff. Let's talk about these real quick that apply to games anyway. You'll be able to stream Xbox One games to any Windows 10 device later this year. That means tablets, phones, and PCs. So we got a less than awesome gaming PC. This is a way for you to stream Xbox One games to that PC or a tablet that's running 10 and be able to play it. It's, you know, think of it as like on live before that kind of went away. The new PlayStation stuff with Vita. There were all the remote placed stuff that basically the controller and screen and the way that functions with the Wii U is similar. So it's not unheard of. It's great tech and everybody seems to be doing it. And it's nice to see they have this. And I think that's awesome. I don't exactly believe them, though, when they get up and say, gaming's important to us. And in the new Windows 10 environment and the new thing moving forward, we're going to make sure games are a huge priority. But they have failed miserably on that front over the last 10, 15 years. Why? Because they want to push Xbox sales. I don't blame them. They should. But quit telling me you care that much about it, because you kind of don't. Like, Steam's eating your lunch. Everybody else is making you look bad in that space. And, you know, the little thing you throw out, it says, oh, Fable Legends multiplayer. And Fable Legends will be on Xbox One and PC and will be interoperable so you can play each other in it. All right, but that's not enough. Where's my Halo 5 announcement that will be a PC? There'll be a PC version of that, so people with high-end PCs can really get that thing tricked out. When's that happening? It won't happen because they want to drive Xbox sales, especially now because they're not doing that great. So guaranteed Halo 5 never even touches a PC because that sells Xboxes. It's not a bad thing. I get it. But don't talk about how it's such a priority for you, because it's not. It's not. It will continue to be a highly successful gaming platform with or without you directly supporting it. But to talk all that talk kind of drives me nuts. Good news, though. If you are a Windows 10 buyer, if you're a Windows 7 or 8.1 user, so me, where I stayed at 7, they know a lot of people did. You can get Windows 10 as a free upgrade. And for 7 users, that looks like you've got to do that in the first year to get the free upgrade. This is very kind of OS 10 Mac sort of idea with the upgrades. That's how they do it now. It's all free. Windows 8.1 users, looks like it might be in perpetuity, but I'm not sure about that. At some point, that would go away, I guess. But yeah, I'm excited because for 7 users like me, we get a free upgrade to 10. That's exciting. And 10 looks pretty hot. What they showed up there looked real good. So, yeah, that's cool, right? They also talked a bunch about how Xbox is going to receive what they are calling core components of Windows 10. I don't know what that means. They didn't get into that too much, but I mean, they did a little and I didn't pay that much attention, to be honest, because whatever. Will the Xbox play your games and do it well? Yes. Then I don't care how much Windows 10 is in it. And then that Fable thing coming, so... It's exciting. It was actually one of the better Microsoft conferences I think I may have ever seen. So step in the right direction, man, as far as that stuff goes. And I really like, you know, the tech on display. And I really hope that headset thing is cool. Someone in Japan just bought a 20th anniversary PlayStation 4 for nearly $130,000. I mean, those things are pretty hot. Don't get me wrong. But somebody had gotten it for 15 million yen. That's about 129K in U.S. dollars. Quote, we appreciate who participated in the auction. We are surprised at the high bid, which was higher than our expectations, a Sony representative told the Wall Street Journal. The money will be donated to the Save the Children in Japan fund. So someone either really wanted that PlayStation or really wanted to give to a charity and figured this is the way to do it. Earlier this month, Sony said that the PlayStation 4 had sold 18.5 million units worldwide. That was since launch in 2013. Yeah, I keep forgetting it was 2013 when that came out. The regular price is $399, but if you were the lucky buyer, you just got one for $130K. Sweet deal, man. Oh, why didn't that work? There it is. Hey, Boop. Check it out, Boop listeners. The Stick of Truth. Did Scott get it yet? Did he get it?
Hey, Scott, this is for the Boop Show. This is Dennis in Indianapolis. Just wanted to say that the PS3 whatever platform, South Park Stick of Truth, obviously I'm playing it on the PS3, is fantastic. Want to know if you've played it and what your thoughts are. If you haven't played it, why not? It's cheap.
It is cheap. I got it for $16 on the Steam sale. They did the kind of throw, you know how they end the Steam thing? I talked about this on the show, but they ended it. And they said, oh, here are some of our best deals of the week, and you can still get them. And so I picked that up. So, yes, I have it. I haven't played it yet. I will. Just haven't, you know, now that I have it, it's like I don't feel the rush to play it. But I will. It's on PC. I'm ready to go. And everyone says it's great. So finally, I will play the Stick of Truth. Elder Scrolls Online, ESO, to people who play it, goes free to play. Sorry, let me rephrase that. Pay to play. Ooh, what does that mean? Actually, I think this is a pretty good idea for them. It's also kind of interesting, the timing. But the bottom line is, the short of it is, they're moving to the model that, say, Guild Wars 2, or I guess The Secret World is basically this now, but you buy a game for a flat rate, and like, okay, here's my $49. You get the game and all of its content. And you can buy things in-game, kind of like Guild Wars, but you don't have to. It's mostly cosmetic. You just straight up pay for game and then play it. That's always kind of been their thing. Back even in the Guild Wars 1 days, wasn't that how it worked? They weren't charging subscriptions. Same goes for various other games, while some MMOs have adopted the whole free-to-play thing. So it's interesting they even have to call it pay-to-play, because isn't that what video games always are? Like, regular straight-up ass games, pay-to-play. It's kind of dumb. But they're doing it to coincide. And by the way, subscriptions will stop March 17th, I believe. Yeah. For PC players. And the game, when it goes live on PS4 and Xbox One on June 9th, I believe, that's when they see this, they get to just buy it and play it. So I think that they are covering this whole thing in a blanket of PR that says, we're going to make the game so you just buy it once and don't pay a monthly subscription. And it's because the console versions are coming out, but that's not exactly honest. It's mainly because they're not making a bunch of money. If they were making a bunch of money from subs and their subs weren't way down, they would keep doing subs and they would launch them on consoles with subs, with subscriptions as well. But I think this benefits players, because if you're going to play it on the console, you buy it once and you don't have to pay another thing on top of Live or PSN or whatever else you're playing. You know what I mean? Well, I guess it'd be Live and PS Plus. So that's good, because you're already paying something. I don't think MMOs will even survive on these consoles if they have the extra fee. Who's doing that now? Is anyone doing that now? I don't think anyone's doing that now. Anyway, you can still have a membership. That'll get you free DLC packs. That'll get you in-game bonuses, monthly allotment of the crown currency they use in the store. So there are reasons to do it still, but not for me. Homeworld Remastered Edition coming on February 25th. That is like a month away. Oh, I'm so excited. Homeworld. Remember Homeworld? Here, I got a little something from Homeworld. Where did I put that? I got a little something-something. Oh, Scott, what are you doing? Oh, here it is. Check this out. I'll play a little bit. You hear that? That's Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings. It was featured heavily in the soundtrack for Homeworld 1. It puts me in the mood, man. I can't wait. That is very exciting. Gearbox is the guys doing it now. This is their modern take, redo, whatever, reskinning of Relic Software's classic strategy game series. Came out in the 90s. And it will hit Steam February 25th. You can pre-order it right now. Save a little bit of money, 15%, I guess, right now. So $29.74. And that gets you access to the multiplayer beta, which the game will support. And the multiplayer is pretty cool. I dug into this a little bit. It's not just Homeworld 1 and multiplayer online. It's Homeworld 1 and 2, which, by the way, are both included, totally remastered, and they look beautiful. So all that content. But also in the multiplayer beta, it's combined ships and resources and stuff from those two different games are all in one. So I don't know if it's everything from both games, but they've created a multiplayer environment that is, I guess, the best of both those two games. And that'll be part of the multiplayer build. It had LAN play, and I did a bunch of that back in the day. I think you could do direct IP stuff, but they didn't have like a service where you could, you know, have a lobby and all that. And that's what they'll have this time. Anyway, that game was amazing, and I am really glad it's being remade in this way, and I am totally buying it. In fact, I already pre-ordered it, and there's not a damn thing you can do.
Hey, this is Andrew from Atlanta, Georgia, calling for the Boop Show. I had a question for you, Scott. What arcade game in your youth stole your most orders? I know you had access to basically three arcades as a child, but taking that into consideration, what game did you play the most? Which one took most of your quarters that you loved the most? Love the show, and take care.
A couple of strange games. First would be, it's not unknown, but Marble Madness ate a lot of my quarters. I was really into that game. And every time there was an arcade that had one, and you knew it did because you'd walk by and hear that like a guitar riff. It was great. You'd go in there, plunk some quarters down. I thought Marble Madness was one of the coolest games ever made. So that was like high school, junior high. I don't remember when that was. Junior high, probably late junior high, early high school. Played the hell out of that. And then if an arcade had a super sprint machine, if you guys remember this, but it had steering wheels, sometimes four all around it. The screen was flat and laying kind of down on like a table. And you would all go around and take a wheel, and they all had gear shifts and stuff. And you would drive these little cars and do drifts around these tracks and try to win. And I freaking love Super Sprint. So between those two, they probably ate the most quarters when I was putting quarters in things. But back when I was a kid, and, you know, Space Invaders, Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, Galaga, all that, we had those games in the house. Missile Command. What else? We had everything. Burger Time, whatever. It was all in the house and all had free play. So I never paid to play any of those games, but it was, a little bit later when I was a teenager and my dad wasn't buying that stuff anymore. We were out of the arcade business. I would go to the arcades and those two games get a lot of my attention. Also Gauntlet, played a lot of Gauntlet. I mean, I could keep going, but the big two had to be those two. So much fun, dude. So much freaking fun. Oh, what else? Guild Wars 2, Heart of Thorns was shown at PAX South this week. Another expansion from an MMO perspective there. Guild Wars 2 is a cool game. I downloaded it again because I saw the headline and went, oh, yeah, I should check that out. I had deleted it. I went and got it, downloaded it, logged in. Oh, yeah, I've got characters in here. What are they doing? Oh, yeah, I left them there. All right, well, probably not going to do much with it. I know some people who swear by that game, and it is their alternate MMO of choice in a WoW-dominated world. But not so much for me. DayZ has been sold 3 million times. I wonder how many of those people are buying or playing it actively. I bought it, and I don't like it. I didn't like it then, and I tried it recently and still don't like it. I don't think the current crop of zombie-based, but survival zombie things, sandboxy games, they're not made for me. Rust has its moments. I don't know what to say about those games. That genre is leaving me a little flat, and I don't know what it is. I think it's the inaccessibility of it. It just feels so unfinished. Like there's no clear direction. And maybe that's the point. In a post-Minecraft world, we don't want direction. You know? That's probably it. But I like that. I like a more catered experience. I like stuff that's built for me to see and experience. I want more than just running around looking for crap. I know it's more than that, but you know what I mean. That game's a problem for me. Star Citizen is expected to reach $100 million in funding before this whole weirdness is over. $100 million. Why don't you just buy your own star for that money, Chris Roberts? Anyway, they've got some target dates for the game. They're working on some stuff. The beta programs for the game's first-person shooter and Planetside components are due next spring. That stuff's all been added. The Arena Commander 2.0 ships in summer. These are all things that if you're following this, you know what's going on. If you don't, this doesn't make any sense. I recommend you go look it up if you give a crap. They do have the first episode of the story-based Squadron 42 single-player campaign will arrive this fall. So the backers will get access to that through the alpha program. He believes the commercial launch of the game will happen in 2016. Yes, that's next year. They're really close to 70 million. They'll probably go over 100. This is from Roberts himself. That will be the largest funded video game of all video game funding, crowdfunding time. And I sure hope that thing lives up to the hype, dude. I don't know how it can at this point, but this reminds me, and I think I'm going to pick up Elite Dangerous this week. Give that thing a freaking spin. I'm sick of everybody telling me how awesome it is and then not trying it. I don't have a flight stick. I know everyone's like, you got it, dude. It's no good unless you get a flight. Dude, if that game's no good if I can't play with a controller or with a keyboard and at least have some fun, then it's not worth me buying because I'm not going to go buy a $110 freaking flight stick. so I can play that game. If I love it and I can't get enough of it, then maybe. But they sure better introduce me in a way that I can take advantage of my current controls. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know where I'm coming from. Pretty excited about it, though. So I'll download it, try it, let you guys know what I think.
Hey, Scott, this is for the Boop Show. Looking for some advice. Want to get into Steam gaming, but I really like OS X, and not all games come out for OS X on Steam. So should I go ahead and throw down and get a new PC to run some of them Steam games, or do you think I should just dual boot Windows into my OS X to get some of those great games? Enjoy the show.
Okay, so I do all my video and audio production stuff I do on Macs. I have multiple Macs doing multiple things, and I really like the OS X environment, so I'm with you on all of that. But they're terrible gaming machines. They always have been. I mean, I'm a giant Apple nerd, and I love those guys, but they don't make computers to play games in a way that is hardcore. You can get away with casual. If you like Blizzard, all their games are on OS X. So there's a lot of good things happening in the Mac space, but on the whole, it is not a focus of theirs. It never has been. And that's okay. I have a second PC, a pretty powerful one with a brand new NVIDIA card I just put in there around Christmas. Really happy with it. Didn't really need it, but I don't know. I got a wild hair up my butt and did it. That's the way to go if you can. Now, if you can't do that and you want to maximize what you have, I actually think Bootcamp, which is the Mac dual boot thing they run, works great, and you'll be surprised how well it runs games. When you put Windows on there and DirectX and all that stuff, things start running real well, better than you expected. So I'm not at all opposed to that as a thing to do and would recommend it highly. So dual boot, man. Feel good about it. Embrace yourself. What does that mean? I don't even know. PlayStation exclusive TV show Powers will debut in March. That's good. We knew that was coming. We get that. What's his name? Choktar Coppola? Or the District 9 dude? He's in it. That'll be good. Club Nintendo's closing. New loyalty program on the way, they say. Club Nintendo is dead. Long live the new loyalty program. That's the message, according to Nintendo. You have until March, end of March, if you live in the US and Canada, to earn Nintendo Club coins. And then by the close of June, you got to redeem them. If you're all into this thing, you got to do it. That's when they'll finally hang it up. They don't want to do that after that. Quote, we thank all Club Nintendo members for their dedication to Nintendo games and their ongoing love of our systems and characters, said Nintendo American Executive VP Scott Moffitt. Said this in a press release. We want to make sure this time of transition is as easy as possible for our loyal club members. So we are going to add dozens of new rewards and downloadable games to help members clear out their coin balances. I don't even know what I have. I have something, but I don't know because I haven't bothered to look. Anyway, kiss it goodbye because something better's coming. We assume it's better. We hope it's better. We don't know.
Hey, Scott, this is Verbatim calling for the Boop Show. So I just downloaded Punch-Out off the Wii U, and I was super excited to play it off the gamepad. I thought, hey, great, finally a use for this thing. But lo and behold, you can't do that. You need to use the Wiimote. What's up with that? This seemed like a perfect way to play that game, and I really bungled it. Anyway, see ya.
Agreed. It's super dumb. I know I talked about this earlier. Wanted to play that call, though. It's super dumb. I mean, yeah. I guess I'd have to pay more than $10 for a complete port. Like, it's not like they did with Zelda. So I get it. They're basically emulating it. Somebody suggested since I owned Galaxy on the Wii, I could just go and feel better about downloading Dolphin and doing an emulated version on the PC, which has all been jacked up in resolution and textures and stuff. And that would be an okay semi-legal thing for me to do, but I don't want to go through all that ROM downloading and virus getting and bull crap that you do. It's a scary space, and I know a lot of people like it. I'd rather give Nintendo money for good things. I just think this was a little short-sighted. That's all. The Patriots have beaten the Seahawks. Spoiler, I went ahead in time. No, that's not true. It was... 28-24 score. This is according to Madden NFL 15. They do this every year. Their annual simulation, whether or not it correctly picks the game. It has done it 8 out of 11 tries. It missed horribly last year. It's just luck, really, I think. Well, the theory is that they have so well-tuned the AI and the team dynamic that that they nail it. That's at least the theory. I don't know if it's, I don't know, whatever. We'll see how this goes. I think the Seahawks are gonna murder New England, but whatever, we'll see. The sim calls for Brady to throw all four touchdowns. The Patriots score in a 335-yard MVP-worthy effort, it says here. And I don't know, man. Unless they get busted for blowing up their balls. Remember that? Or did you hear about that? All the ball blowing or whatever? Ball blowing. Players could explore Elite Dangerous for thousands of years and not see it all, this says. What? According to an article in Polygon, they say that when it's launched, more than 30 years after its original release, by the way, the original Elite Dangerous, here's how long it would take you. That means there are 4 billion star systems for players to explore, trade, and fight across. Part of the leveling mechanic in the game includes incentivizing players to explore unknown systems, and that community is moving at a fantastic rate. But they say our galaxy, as many of you might be aware of, is so very, very big that it's going to take them a while. The current rate of exploration, Elite's player base is visiting 17,585 new systems every day. That's 732 per hour or 12 per minute. Seems like a lot. At that rate, though, it will take players 150,895 years, Earth years, to map the entire galaxy. If it stays at that rate. But even if it increases, it'll never be lower than something we're all going to live for. That's crazy to me. That's why I want to get in there and see what's going on.
This is Daniel Pierce. Two questions. Since you are back in the Nintendo realm, do you think Nintendo should have their own film company and possibly get bought out by Disney and start making sort of Pixar-esque revelations of their, or re-envisions of their games? I think that'd be a correct format. Two, why in the world does Nintendo not have their own theme park? Discuss. Have fun, man. Keep rocking the shows. Boopity boop.
Boopity boop indeed. Okay, this is a complicated answer, but I'll give it to you short. They don't need to make a film studio. I'll answer the two parts. The film studio part, there's no way they're going to do their own. They'll license it to someone who will do a good job, hopefully. And that's what they've done. There is a new Mario. There's a Mario movie coming out. We know very little about it, except that it will be animated, 3D animated, you know, computer animated, CGI film. And that probably means, you know, a big studio, Sony or somebody. Is it Sony who's trying to get it? Yeah, Sony's the one. Remember, there's an article we talked about on the show. Sony are the ones that have got the deal to do it. So Sony Animation, who've done plenty of really great animated films. I don't know how you guys all feel about the Ice Age movies, but they did well. There's others that we could discuss, but they have the chops. So that's how this will go. Nintendo will probably do more of this. And you'll see it be licensed. They're not going to start their own film studio. It's not a chance. And no one's going to buy them out. Like, Disney's not going to buy Nintendo. Why we haven't seen a Nintendo Land, like a real physical one, that is a bit of a shocker. Why they haven't partnered with somebody to take a portion of the park and turn it into one, or just do their own park, that's surprising to me. At least in, like, Japan or something, or even in China somewhere, or I don't know. I don't know why that hasn't happened, but that would be awesome. Wouldn't it be awesome? It'd be awesome. Ooh, that was a long haul today. That's what happens when you miss a show. There's a lot to catch up on and talk about. Those phone calls we keep getting, where do they go? They come from us, or come to us, at 801-471-0462. 801-471-0462. Please keep those coming. I love them. Or boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com, where we got the following emails. Justin, the broke nerd, formerly the broke gamer, wrote in. He says, Scott, I have 3 major electronics I use every day. My PC, phone, and console. Watching the Microsoft event about Windows 10 intrigued me. I love how Windows 10 and the Xbox One seem to connect seamlessly. Do you think this bodes well for the future of Windows phones and its connectivity to Xbox? I'm still waiting for the day when my PC, phone, and console work seamlessly together. Boop. I don't know. They got to prove it, right? I think they intend for that to happen, and they sure talk a lot of talk about it. I'm just taking, again, the skeptical position. I think they are definitely aiming for better things. They're ready to be loved again. I think Satya Nadella is a good leader for the company right now. He's the right guy. I think a lot can come from all of this. So my hopes are high, and I actually think things are going to be cool. I don't know about this utopian future where all those things work perfectly together. I mean, some would tell you right now, if you have an iPhone and a Mac, you're having wonderful interoperability, and you are. There's great stuff happening there. If you own an Android device and you are also, I guess, running a Chromebook, chances are you got some pretty cool connectivity there. Problem is, you're never going to have it so that all your devices are working with everybody's stuff together. That being said, Microsoft has made it pretty clear that they want to make their stuff and their services more broadly available across all platforms, whether they make them or not. That's a big change for them. So who knows? Balakar wrote in, to the listener that asked about controllers for the PC, the Xbox One controller connects with a standard micro USB cable and anecdotally works with any games that support the 360 controller. I used to prefer the 360 controller, like Scott, but I stole one of my brother's Xbox One controllers for my corded 360 controller when it broke and used it for a while. When I went back to a 360 controller, I didn't like it as much anymore. Hope that helps. Balakar. I had the opposite experience. I tried the X-Bone controller and went back to the 360 and went, oh, okay, this is what I like. This is better. Now, I will say this. The Xbox One controller has a way better D-pad, and the 360 controller D-pad is poo. Even the newer one they did a while back. Poop-de-scoop-de-poop. Garbage. So they have that advantage, but I don't like the bumpers. I don't like the triggers. I don't like the sticks. I don't know what it is. I love the 360 controller, though. And I really like the PS4 controller. So between those two, I think I'm good. But yeah, I mean, it's not like this the worst thing you could do to use that. Final email from Steve. I like this one a lot. He says this, Scott, I would like to know your thoughts on the upper echelon of over-the-top violence in video games and parents who allow their kids to play them. While I am all for freedom of speech, I'm conflicted over games, GTA or the new Hatred. Is anyone playing Hatred? That's not out yet, is it? Didn't Steam deny it off Greenlight or whatever? Anyway, whatever. Specifically, I'm conflicted about what these games do to individuals who don't have the mental capacity to tolerate these games without acting out violently themselves or just being desensitized to violence and vulgarity. He gives some examples of his son and kind of how some stuff went there. Here's what I believe, and very strongly believe this. Like, for example, GTA 5 is not a game that is in this house. Why? Because I feel kind of gross when I play a GTA 5 game. Not because I'm, you know, I can watch a Tarantino movie and have the worst possible language and violence heaped upon me and be not only fine with it, but think it was an incredible movie. It's not that. GTA has a meanness to it now. It lacks heart. And I like my games, even those that are more adult-oriented, to have some heart in them. And it's very hard to find it there. You know, it seems contradictory because I love like shows like Breaking Bad, which, you know, speaking of lack of heart, there's hardly any there. So maybe there are exceptions to this. I don't know. But that game, I don't want it. And I don't want my kids to play it. And they've asked, and we've had this conversation. Well, why do you want to play it? Well, because it looks cool. I just want to do the multiplayer, whatever. And I would have to come back with my reasons why I don't think it's a good game. And I'll say things like, all right, look, when you're 17, you can get it. We'll talk about it between now and then. We'll discuss the ins and outs, why you want it, why you don't. But that's the trick. Talk to your kids. Spend time with them. Know what they're playing. I mean, that's the answer to this. It's all on parents. I am, and always will be, the very last person that would ever suggest that people should stop selling video games based on their content. Kids getting them in their hands is not the fault of the ESRB. It is not the fault of the store who did it. And it is not the fault of the game developers themselves, even in Hatred's case, which I think is abhorrent and I want nothing to do with it. But I need to always be able to make that decision for myself. And so should you as a parent. Your kids should not be making those decisions. You should be making it for them when they're real young and making it with them when they can make responsible decisions. You'll be surprised how often they choose to take the lighter path when they're a little older, if you've done this right. So the bottom line is I don't want anyone dictating what I can or can't play. If I lived in Australia, I'd be pissed all the time. They're always banning things, acting like I don't have the ability to make a decision. I see plenty of games I don't want to play. GTA, Hatred, and others, not interested. Therefore, not going to buy them. Now, as far as keeping them out of kids' hands, people just need to freaking parent. Spend time with your kids. Talk to them. Let them know what's up. Introduce them slowly to the things that have themes that maybe are a little challenging for them. Don't go crazy and just sit them down and say, all right, play Grand Theft Auto 5 while I go to the bar. That's just bad parenting. The game isn't really the problem. There are bigger problems there. I hope all of that makes sense, Steve. Let me know your thoughts. All of you, your feedback is great. Keep it coming. Never end. Never stop. What? All right, we have been going for a while. I apologize for the length of today's show. I try to keep these at 30 minutes or so. But you guys have been amazing, and thanks for letting me kind of pad this one out. There's a lot to talk about. Frogpants.com/boop is our website. Boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. Once again, the phone number 801-471-0462. You can find us on Twitter at Boopshow. As always, support us at patreon.com/frogpants. That is always much appreciated. Before we go, got some music for you. It's a little weird. It's called a Super Mario Brothers Planes, Capes, and Turnips. I don't know. It struck me fancy. And I found it at OC Remix, and you guys should listen to it after that Blair's app review. So stay tuned for that. It's going to do it. We'll see you guys next week. Not even that, Thursday. Jeez. See you on Thursday. Bye. Thank you.
Welcome to Blair's App Review. I'm Blair Canfield, and this week's app, 2-Bit Cowboy. You think you know the Wild West, son? Think again, cowboy. You haven't learned yourself a dang thing till you played yourself a 2-Bit Cowboy for the iOS and Android devices. You can pick up this here app for 99 cents. This here is what you call a classic Western platformer, full of shooting, looting, and riding. Your job, Tex, is to take on the challenges found in each level. Doing so will earn you some rewards. You play as a customizable cowboy or cowgirl, earning money during the challenges you complete. You can get yourself some mighty fine-looking cowboy hats, bandanas, masks, and much, much more. Each level has a different objective for you to tackle. When I last strolled in on my horse at the level 2 there, my job was to shoot all them scorpion critters and earn me some money. This game has everything you need. Gambling, drinking, taming wild bulls. If you're a fan of those there platformers and you like the Wild West, I do believe I done found you the game of the century. I give 2-Bit Cowboy a 7.5 yeehaws out of 10. Feel free to tell me what you think or tell me a game you think I should done their review by contacting me on that there Twitter, at Blair Can. That's all I got for you today. Until next time, I'm Blair Canfield. Happy gaming. Boop.
Is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.